Mr. Tasky. The Antic Files. Episode 13.
Welcome again to Inversitasky, The Antic Files. I'm your host, Wade, and this issue is October 1983, Volume 2, Number 7, and it's issue number 13, which means this is episode 13. This issue is 117 pages cover to cover and has 56 different advertisers. The price was $2.50 and $3 Canadian. The cover of this issue is an orange gradient from light at the top to dark at the bottom. In the top left is the Antic logo in indigo with a light green shadow. The prices are in indigo in the top right. On the left corner diagonally is a black stripe with yellow text that says Sports Games. In the bottom right is the barcode. There is a white box in the lower portion that is reminiscent of a tube TV shape. Intertwined with this is a green gradient of five 3D bars that reminds me of a football field. In front of that are some football players, red versus blue. On the front of the blue helmets is a white Atari Fuji symbol. There is also a soccer ball, volleyball, baseball, tennis ball, and basketball, which are along the right side. There is no editorial in this issue. Starting with ads, we have Alphacom, which has a full-page, full-color ad for the Alphacom 42. This is a printer. The ad is a close-up of the printer, which has paper stretching from the printer itself to the top of the page. At the top of the paper, in large black text, it reads, "This printer costs just $119.95," with an asterisk. Lower on the paper, in the printer's normal font, the printer is introduced. It is a 40-column, 2-line-per-second, ultra-quiet dot matrix printer. It includes a 30-day warranty, paper, and instructions. The next ad is for Software Gallery, which has a mail-order, half-page monochrome ad and features everything from hardware to software. What caught my eye are the equipment covers, which are pictured. They are all $7.99, which is $24.30 today. I find one thing funny. On the top of the covers, it says what it is in large font, such as computer or disk drive. The front has an annoying ad with their phone number on it. I could manage the name okay, I suppose, but not the advertisement. Next is MPP, Microbits Peripheral Products, with a full-color, full-page ad similar to the one before, which is all yellow and blue, and features the MPP 1150 interface, which is new, replacing the MPP 1100. And now it's just $99, which is $303.94 today. And guess what? Now the MPP 1000C modem is listed. It's noted as improved in large, bright red script font, and the price has been reduced to $149.95, which is an astounding $455.99 today. I had this modem for a long time. A friend and I used to use Smart Terminal and bump the baud rate up and chat for a while. At some point, I replaced it with an Atari 1030, but I don't recall why. And maybe it was to keep the XL aesthetic going. It's a great modem at any rate. Broderbund has a full-color, full-page ad for two games, Spare Change and Lode Runner. Lode Runner was a game I first experienced on an Apple II with a green monochrome screen back in my high school's library. It's a fun game. I haven't seen any ads for Antic itself until now. They have a tiny one in the back that just says subscribe to Antic and gives toll-free numbers inside and outside California. No pricing is given. The next ad is from Excellent Software. They have a quarter-page monochrome ad announcing Megafont, which is touted as the complete program lister and graphics dumper. It's priced at $19.95, which is $60.67 today. The ad was clearly generated using their own toolset that really shows off its capabilities. The second version of the product was featured on Inversitasky in Season 4, Episode 3. and includes an interview with the author, Randy Dellinger. Dorset has a full-page, full-color ad for educational programs. It says NEW in large red letters. There are three color screenshots above three columns of text. Over 1,000 programs with full audio narrative, pictures, and text are available for the Atari, TRS-80, 1 and 3 and 4, and the Apple. If you read the fine print in the three columns of text, that is kind of a lie. There are 832 for the systems mentioned, and 160 for the TRS-80 color computer. It claims to have 64 courses of 16 half-hour programs. They break down as follows: reading, 256 programs, math, 128 programs, comprehension, 48 programs, history, 32 programs, algebra, 16 programs.
Is that not math?
Spelling, 16 programs, government, 16 programs, and there are also 16 programs for carpentry, electronics, health services, office skills, statistics, first aid, economics, business, accounting, psychology, and more. I'm not going to break down the pricing as it's similar to the previous Dorset ad, which was mentioned back in episode 6 of the Antic Files. Taking a look at the features, first up is Profiles by David Barry. This department article is titled Carlston Trio. This article is all about Broderbund, you know, the makers of classic games and other products such as Choplifter and David's Midnight Magic. It gives a history and interview with the family that started it all. The company was started in Eugene, Oregon in 1980 by brothers Doug and Gary Carlston. Where does the trio come in? Their sister Kathy. She has joined them. Doug and Gary started writing strategy games on the TRS-80. Doug was a practicing lawyer and was eventually lured to the software business. Gary was coaching a Swedish women's basketball team that also won the Swedish national championship. Jet-setting between the U.S. and Sweden, he also taught Swedish at the University of Washington in Seattle. Both Doug and Gary are Harvard graduates. Doug has sold some titles to the likes of Adventure International and TSE Softside, and enticed his brother to join him. Kathy was formerly a buyer for Lord & Taylor in New York. There's a picture of the three of them as well. At this point in time, they are located in Rafael, California, and have 60 employees, of which 12 are programmers. Interestingly, they are partnered with a Japanese company called Programmers 3. The programmers receive a royalty from 15 to 30%, depending upon the market, which is their primary payment. Doug said that David Snyder, who wrote David's Midnight Magic, was paid somewhere in the six figures. Where does the name Broderbund come from? It's not Swedish. They said it's closer to German and means brotherhood. The next feature is Starting Line by David Fawn. This department article is titled Time Your Fire. This gives you great understanding of how the real time clock works, then presents a simple game that uses it. I'd say it's less of a game, which is referred to as a race, and more of a utility. It asks you how many times you want to press the fire button on a joystick, then times you and tells you how long it took. While doing so, a dot is added to a line that races across the screen to a finish line. There's some screenshots on the website. The next feature is Inside Atari by Deborah Burns. This department article is titled Computer Camp. The article recalls Antic's visit to Atari Computer Camp held in Camp Atari, Old West, which was 40 miles east of San Francisco. It was located on the Athenian School campus near Danville. It had two directors, Don and Marlene Applebaum, who both teach school in New Jersey and have 15 years professional camp experience. Camp ran from June 25th to August 19th. This year, there were 7 camps, and Atari indicates there will be 10 next year. The Danville camp averaged between 45 and 60 campers of a maximum of 96. In contrast, the Poconos location went from 80 in attendance last year to 160 applicants this year. The directors indicated there were few discipline issues and the campers were pretty smart. The article states that only 20% of the campers are female. And here's an example of the day schedule. From 9 to 10:25 a.m. is computer instruction. From 10:30 to 11:10 is drama. From 11:15 to 12 is tennis. From 12 to 1:55 p.m. is lunch and rest. From 2 to 2:55 p.m. is a computer workshop. From 3 to 3:35 is free swim. And from 4 to 5:25 is softball. Evenings include dinner and some computer free time or other planned activities. As much as I wanted to attend when I was a kid, I would have been super disappointed with only 2.5 hours of computer time, considering it's computer camp. They had a banquet night weekly, which usually had a guest speaker. Chris Crawford, of the Eastern Front fame, was there the week before this visit. Vince Wu, the designer of the arcade game Donkey Kong, was there when Antic was there. There are three computer classrooms with equipment worth $1 million. I read that as a total for all three. You might be wondering about the counselors. They are all generally 19 to 21 and are computer or engineering students. The next feature is Pilot Your Atari by Ken Harms. This department article is titled Lonesome Pilot. It starts with some answers to readers' questions on previous listings where there was trouble getting them to work properly. Count me in. It all boils down to how the listings in the magazine appear. Agreed. The article also presents a program that does some graphic zero character animation with sound. In this case, it draws a steam train and makes chugging sounds as it progressively moves faster and faster down the screen, or across the screen, sounding its whistle at the start and at the end.
All aboard.
Here's a sound sample, and there are some screenshots on the website. The next feature is called Arithmetrix, and that's A-R-I-T-H-M-E-T-R-I-X, and it's by Jerry White. This feature article presents a program that does 5 arithmetic tricks, as a magician might do. Pick a number, do some multiplication, division, make some choices about odd, even, and then have the computer spit your number back out. And it will keep going with some interactive predictions. The third one presented didn't correctly guess or predict my number, but that may be attributed to how I entered it. It asked for some division remainders, and I tried both decimal notation and whole number notation. Neither method resulted in the proper guess. When it writes messages to the screen, it plays a little tone at the end of the line. Invalid entries result in a raspberry. Here's a sound sample with a raspberry at the end, and there are screenshots on the website. The next feature is called Fourth Factory by Bill Van Hassel. This department article is titled DOS Sectors to Fourth. This article describes the differences between DOS diskettes and fourth diskettes, which is twofold. One, fourth starts sector numbering at 0, whereas DOS starts at 1. And two, fourth allows the use of all 128 bytes in a sector. And I guess I didn't realize fourth couldn't use a DOS diskette. And maybe that's the issue I was running into recently, trying to get a fourth program to run. The article then presents some fourth words to retrieve fonts and VersaWriter files from DOS diskettes. And there is also a review of ValveFourth, which states that fourth is 15 to 20 times faster than BASIC. Who is Bill? Bill is a full-time IBM and DEC mainframe programmer and mainly uses his home Atari for playing games. The next feature is called Systems Guide by David and Sandy Small. This department article is titled Nightmare Mission. the authors describe an almost unrealistic objective of developing a high-quality aircraft simulator to be used at trade shows with a 4-week deadline, and the intended target machine being 16K Atari 400s. They accepted the mission and then describe how it was tackled. Part of this is a mini-comparison of several assemblers and details why they chose OSS's Mach 65 to produce the 25K of object code, or roughly 250 pages of assembly code, over the other assemblers. The next feature is Games Department. This department article is in two parts. Part 1 is titled Sports for the Atari 5200 by Robert Caporel, MD. He reviews Atari 5200 football, soccer, and tennis. Sadly, there is only one screenshot, which is in monochrome, and that is for Atari 5200 football. Part 2 is titled Cheers and Booze by Dan Gutman. This article lists what the author considers to be the best sports games for the 2600. It starts with Pong variations, Atari Real Sports Tennis, and Activision's Tennis. Activision's Hockey is mentioned as a similar offering. For baseball, the choices are Atari Real Sports Baseball and Mattel's Super Challenge Baseball, with a similar matchup of titles for football following the same naming conventions. Track and field is represented with Activision's Decathlon and StarPath's Sweat. Decathlon was a really fun game I remember playing a lot, albeit on the 800, not the 2600. And the article finishes off with driving, where Activision's Enduro and Atari's Pole Position take top honors. Pole Position in the arcade is the game that started my lifelong obsession with driving games. I've acquired this game on virtually every platform I've owned over the years and enjoyed it on most, including the 2600. And in fact, just recently purchased Pole Position 2 on the Nintendo Switch. The next feature is called Gridiron Grit by Robert DeWitt. This feature article presents an overview of the 5 different football games and discusses how the better ones deliver a good football experience. The games referenced are Star Bowl Football by GameStar, Atari Football, Gridiron Glory by APX, Computer Football Strategy from Avalon Hill, and Super Bowl from Nexa, which takes the top honors. The article also features soccer games, which are Thorn MI's Soccer, and that one takes top honors, Game Software's Soccer, and Kickback from Thorn MI, which is stated as dead simple. The next feature is called Make a Face by Alan Macy. This feature article tells you how to build a parallel printer interface that works through the joystick ports and includes a program that can drive it through the P:\ device like a standard printer. This is for the 400 and 800 owners only, as it needs at least 3 joystick ports to work. The article describes how the parallel port works, gives you a diagram of how to wire it up, and presents a parts list, which is just 3 DB9 connectors, a Centronics male connector, and 6 to 10 feet of cable with at least 13 wires. The device driver resides in page 6 once loaded. Both the basic loader and the assembler listings for the driver are presented. Who is Alan Macy? Alan Macy has a PhD and is director of software at Designware, which develops educational computer games. The next feature is called In the Public Domain by John Weber. This department article presents a game called Track Star. Here you race through a path filled with potholes to a flag at the end. Beware of the boulders and trees as they will slow you down. It uses a redefined character set and graphics mode 1. On the start screen, the runner runs back and forth until you press start, and all the while you can hear his footsteps. Here's an audio clip of the gameplay with a captured flag at the end, and there are some screenshots on the website. The next feature is called Education. This department article is in 2 parts. Part 1 is titled Alpha Run by Stephen Grohl. This presents a basic type-in game that operates in graphics mode 2. You must control a blue car and run over either the alphabet characters in order or numbers from 0 to 9 in order. For a young child, this can help learn both. You can choose a timed run to see how long it takes you, or a countdown run where you need to complete before the timer runs out. Don't hit the walls or the bumpers, or the game restarts. Here's some game audio, and there are some screenshots on the website. Part 2 of this article is titled Flipside by John and Mary Harrison. This part talks about the administrative uses of the computer within a school or school district, and also the impacts of computer-managed instruction. At the time of writing, it was feared that computer instruction would replace teachers completely. Did you know that Congress enacted a measure to ensure that school records must be accurate, up-to-date, and private, while also allowing students' rights to view and contest those records? I hadn't thought about all those aspects of the school data until I read this.
What are you doing?
Dialing into the school's computer. They change the password every couple of weeks, but I know where they write it down.
It discusses how the computer can manage the student-teacher ratio as well as grading. There is a large focus on the data privacy and integrity aspects of the computer-aided instruction as well. There is a statement in here which resonated with me a little, as it applies to today's technology where we are so involved in big data gathering and analysis. That statement is, quote, "Just because it's possible to keep more information and generate more reports does not mean that we should do it," end quote. Think about the state of tech today and let that sink in. There's also a small cartoon at the end. It has two women at a restaurant dining table with glasses raised. The caption reads, "Here's to our new Atari 800. No more progress reports." The next feature is called Microscreens by David Milligan. This is a minor department article. It has only one picture this time, which is a facial close-up of a man in a ball cap. The focus of the article is the presentation of a MicroPainter file viewer called MicroLoader, which is written in BASIC. The next feature article is called Kids Corner by Andre Persidsky. The department article presents a skiing game written by 12-year-old Andre. This is a graphic zero-based game using the standard character set. It has some minor sounds, and you can score up to 19 points, which is the goal. With limited playtime, I managed 3. Here's a sound clip where you can hear each point and a crash. And there are some screenshots on the website. The next feature is called Tape Topics by Carl Evans and Eric Verheiden. This department article is titled Auto Boot for Cassettes. This is a follow-up to a June 1983 article titled Auto Boot for BASIC. Here, the two authors collaborate to produce a bootloader for your very own BASIC program stored on cassette. The next feature is called Assembly Language by Bob Polin. This department article is titled Maxtermind, M-A-X-T-E-R, Mind, and presents the game of Mastermind. It was originally written in CinAssembler, but he converted it to Atari Assembler editor for this article. It's a lengthy listing, almost 4 pages of triple columns. There is no sound, and it does require a joystick. There are some screenshots on the website. Who is Bob? Bob Polin is an Atari programmer who never learned BASIC. He started with assembly using the book Your Atari Assembler by Inman and Inman, and using the Atari Assembler Editor cartridge. He is also the author of Bluemax by Synapse, which was written with CinAssembler. Bluemax is also reviewed in the product review section. The last article that I will talk about is called Customer Quiz by Guy Hurt. This is a minor article in the department section, and it is another quiz. This time, I didn't do any better, Out of 15 questions, I got 10 right, or 66%. A failing mark at best. In the new product section, HomeCalc from Sim Computer Products Incorporated is announced here. It requires 16K for cassette users and 24K for diskette users. The cassette version is $29.95, while the disc version is $39.95. Those are respectively $91.08 and $121.49 today. The name itself may not spark a memory, but the spreadsheet is what Indisc gave away with their disc drives as the GT Albert E spreadsheet. And this product is also known as BasiCalc, BASICALC. This product was featured on Inversitaski in Season 7, Episode 4. There's a link in the show notes. I feel bad for anyone that spent more than $0 on this product. There's a couple of miscellaneous items I want to talk about. The first is in the I.O. board section, the cover art contest winner, Cecilia Gaxiola. I hope I pronounced that right. She informs Antic the prize was received and thanks Antic for selecting her entry, then states the real prize was having her art published. The Antic editor then thanks APX, Broderbund, Datasoft, Educational Software, and Synapse Software for offering up prizes. And second, in the letters section, Matt Gingrich, age 13, writes in stating that he got an Atari 800 for Christmas and is asking how to turn off the display while he draws a screen for games that he has written, such that they will gain a more professional look. He provided a sample screen, and I entered it. There's a screenshot on the website. I received a couple pieces of feedback, both from Darren Gillis on Mastodon. The first one was in response to episode 2441, the Antic April Fool's episode. And he writes, "Only positive feedback, another fun read-along." The second piece he sent was in response to episode 12, and in this one he writes, "Great episode. Education is close to my heart. Always great to follow along with the PDF, and fun to keep up with the ads without page numbers. Thanks for the memories." You're welcome, and I'm glad you're enjoying the episodes. As always, if you have a story to share that relates to Antic, be it a product or the magazine itself, or if you just want to give some feedback on this episode or another one, I'd like to hear it. You can reach me on several Atari 8-bit and some 16-bit BBSs, or find my contact info on the Inversitaski website. First, I want to thank Zane Little for the track The Cool Factor from the album Another Bag of Chips, which is used in the opening sequence. And I want to thank you for continuing to listen. And I also got to thank Antic for a fine publication.
We also want to thank MGM and United Artists for the fantastic movie War Games.